whether it's recent history or Blue Jay franchise history, which has virtually nothing to do with tonight, because tonight it's Ventura and it's David Price, and no matter what the numbers say from back in 1985 or 1993, wad it up, set it on fire, and let's see how these two guys pitch here tonight.
No doubt about it. And like the cliche always says, it's the next day's starter. Tells you about momentum and everything else. It's been a great series so far. We've had ups and downs, but we really haven't had that close ball game like we're still waiting and anticipating to see.
Forecast chance of rain after 11. It may come sooner. Our blimp is telling us that it's about to bail, because rain is on the way. But right now, you would be hard-pressed to believe that we're approaching November in the Midwest. The umpires are going to get together and make sure there was no interference. Bautista was calling for it immediately. And that's a reach over that wall up above the green wall.
And everything's got to go above that, the screen up there. And so from that vantage point, looking at the grounds rule, that they might get this call back.
And they're still going to say home run.
Wow.
Pitch to Bautista, and that is hammered deep into left field, and the lead has been cut in half. Wow, what a bomb off the bat of Bautista to make it 2-1. That's into left field. Back is Revere. He leaps and he catches it. Here's the 0-1. That is hit down the line and left. Into the corner, and this game is tied. It's a 3-3 game here in the eighth inning. And Bautista's got two tonight. It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out as we go through these next, the next inning and a half. And I think when you look at, first of all, how baseball handled it, they nailed it. I mean, they got the forecast. It was dead on. They pulled the tarp on. They got everybody off the field. Everybody went inside. They thought it'd be about a 40-minute delay. That's where we are. And now we'll see which team can scratch out a run here.
That's into right field. This ball is down. Going to third is Kane. Holding it first. Now Kane coming to the plate.
The question is, Wade Davis, who last threw a pitch in the game at 10 o'clock straight up, is on the mound a few minutes after 11. Pompey is going to come in and run for Russell Martin. There he goes. Throw down Perez. Not in time. Stolen base in a blink.
What a money bag.
Tying run at second. Nobody out. Runner goes. No throw and no swing at the plate. Now the tying run is 90 feet away, and the pinch runner Dalton Pompey has stolen two bases here in the ninth.
How gutsy is that?
Strike two, and Revere can't believe it.
Well, most leadoff guys are looking fastball adjust, so he's not fooled by the pitch. Yeah, that falls up and out a little bit for him.
It was 2-0. Now it's 2-2. And Revere is taking it to a trash can. Now it's Donaldson. Second and third. Two out. Left side. Moustakas. Royals win the pennant.
It is Sportsfeld Storytime. We are flashing you back to Friday, October 23rd, 2015, 7:08 p.m. local time, 40,494 in attendance at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. It's Blue Jays Royals. It is the end of the road for one of our favorite teams ever, a game that I was so certain the Toronto Blue Jays were going to win.
Yeah, I remember this. It was disbelief. Like, there was just no world where this Blue Jays team was going to lose anything. And then this game was so weird. Like, I know playoff baseball is usually weird, but this game was so weird.
I can't remember. I'll tell you this much. I was at the Firkin for this game, believe it or not.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Gone too soon. Or gone a year too late. One of the two. But I want to say maybe it was Blake's going away party from the score.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I watched this game at home.
I was at somebody's going away party until the score, and then the party broke up because people were going different places to watch the game individually. Except I was too close to game time, and I was like, well, I'm going to watch this whole game here then.
Right, of course.
So I watched this game with, like, Sandwich Dad and Caitlin Holroyd. Like, it was a really random selection of people that I do not normally watch games with. Not that there's anything wrong with all people I enjoy and really enjoyed, but not my normal, like, who I am watching games with. And it was very strange.
Yeah, I remember I was intending to meet up with you, I believe, but I ended up having it was like a commercial audition, I think, that was at like 6 p.m., which never happens. And, like, there's never a world where auditions are that late, usually. And, of course, first pitch of this game was 7:08 local, so I think it started at 8 p.m. here. And it was just like, of course, the day of the Blue Jays game 6, I have a commercial audition at 6 p.m. So by the time I was – and, like, if you remember, bars were so crowded for all these games, you couldn't save people's seats. So you couldn't – so, like, the choice was like, okay – see if someone can save me a seat or just watch at home. It ended up my roommates at the time, I think Lund had to work late because, like, hockey was just starting up. So it just worked out that none of us could make it to a bar, really. So we're like, fuck it. We'll just do, like, pizza and wings and beer at home. And it was the only game, I think, this entire playoffs that I did not watch in a bar.
And I was in a bar. It's the only game I did watch in a bar.
Or at the game itself. That's right, because you weren't watching games in bars, really, because you don't like it.
I even tweeted at 8:19 p.m. I'm watching a playoff game at a bar for the first time. This is insane. Man, oh, man.
Right, because you used to have to watch by your lonesome, you would tell me, because of the stress, which I get for playoff baseball. Like, it's... I get it, man. You're just fucking pacing and I don't think I sat down this entire game watching at home.
At 10:13, I say I'm ... pretty drunk. what's left? What could possibly be left? Then not yet. Then this lineup. Then let's go. Then just the word screaming. Then the God King. Then Jose Bautista is the greatest Blue Jay of all time. Then Ryan Madsen in brackets. Teeth kicked down throat, listed as day-to-day. And then this game, we'll go game by game. I'm just trying to give you my timeline. At 11:12, they went to a rain delay.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
11:12, I write, I'm so drunk, they are letting me stand on the booth bench. I am forcing people to salute my shirt. I love you all no matter what happens. I was wearing the Jose Bautista backflip shirt,
right,
if you remember. I've been at this bar for 6 hours. Kate Winslet was right about everything. You remember Kate Winslet had just been in town for TIFF. Then I wrote, I love this at 12:05. Then I wrote, how did I ever live without this at 12:06? And at 12:17, I write, thank you, Blue Jays. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then at 12:46 a.m., quietly paying a triple digit bar bill and walking home in silence.
Yeah, it's
at that bar all night.
That sounds right. I remember let's get into the game. I'll tell my stories as we go.
Yes. Okay. So pardon me.
That was wonderful. I enjoyed that.
The Jays just do not score first at any point in this series. First inning, we are officially worried about David Price, I think, at this point.
Yep.
He gives up a home run to Ben Zobrist, the second at-bat of the bottom half of the first.
And you can see David Price massaging the strike zone. In right there to Zobrist, away, seeing what I might be able to get. And then continue to stretch it after that.
That is hit well down the line. Into the corner. It is gone. 1-0 Kansas City home run, Zobrist.
I remember being so convinced that they were going to win the series, too, because you had Price and Stroman in 6 and 7. I was like, oh, okay. What more could you want?
And
it was Cueto in 7, too, who we had rocked.
Yes. And I was so sure that was going to happen. Troy Tulowitzki makes a great play to end the first inning because Troy Tulowitzki is amazing. And then it all starts. The second inning, it all starts. What do I even say about this fucking home run, this fucking guy?
Moustakas into right center field. Bautista will watch. Come on. 2-0 Kansas City home run. Mike Moustakas.
The changeup hung out over the plate that gets drilled by Moustakas. And
the umpires are going to get together and make sure there was no interference. Bautista was calling for it immediately.
So putting aside the fact that he definitely voted for Trump.
I'm so mad. It's been 5 years. I hate him so much.
So putting aside that this kid can go to hell, I don't even know if he's nice. I'm assuming he's not, just because it's easier for my brain.
Probably not, yeah.
How the fuck did this call stand?
I don't know. I have no idea. We had replay at this point.
I hadn't rewatched it until today, as we said. And, like, obviously I remember the play, but rewatching it today, like, in what world is that a home run?
It's offensive.
Like, his glove is, and like you can even hear on like the Joe Buck and Harold Reynolds are like, well, this is coming back.
And that's a reach over that wall up above the green wall.
And everything's got to go above that, the screen up there. And so from that vantage point, looking at the grounds rule, that they might get this call back. This is a pretty clean ballpark. The fans actually sit back, and to reach over, that's going to be a tough judgment call.
Well, you can Chelsea. See. I mean, you can see it hit into the glove and then off that little screen up above that green wall, Tom.
I agree with you. The kid reaching out in front of the wall and then coming back and hitting the wall would seem to indicate the path of that baseball was not clear over that line.
I think this is going to be overruled. It's going to be a ground rule double, if so.
But I just don't think there's any doubt about that. And then the umpires, it's their discretion. Because of the interference to place the runner, likely at second.
Yeah, I would think you place him at second base. You got to consider who's running, how hard that ball was hit. And I think they'd place him at second. Now, here, this guy's an instant star. So he gets kicked out of the ballpark.
Like Joe Buck's reaction is like, oh, well, I guess it's a home run.
And they're still going to say home run.
Wow.
Well, that's interesting.
John Gibbons is going to ask why.
Yeah, and that's interesting. This normally doesn't happen upon replay. John Hirschbeck, the crew chief, went over to explain to Ned Yost the call. Jeff Nelson now talking to John Gibbons with an explanation.
So mad. I'll be furious about it for the rest of my life. Until the Blue Jays win a World Series, I'll be furious about it.
Even like you're right. Even Joe Buck is like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So now they're behind 2-0. Price locks in a little bit, which is nice. Runners get on, but he sort of deals with it. And then in the fourth, Jose Bautista, Yombo Kong.
Jose obviously has a lot of iconic home runs in these playoffs. One we'll get to in a minute. But this, I didn't remember how bad, like just how much he crushed the shit out of this.
Pitch to Bautista, and that is hammered. Deep into left field, and the lead has been cut in half. Wow, what a bomb off the bat of Bautista to make it 2-1.
Something I miss about him, and Teoscar has a bit of this in him, is like he never barely hit a home run, right? Like if he hit a home run, it was like, well, he fucking demolished that. Like, there was, it was never like, oh, it might go. It was always like, oh, that's gone. This fucking shit's over.
And like the way it, and the way it would leave his bat, like, I think it must be like just the style of his swing, but the way baseballs would leave his bat, and you're just like, oh my God, like, just long. Like, it's like, it's like when Vlad was in the home run derby and just every ball went 100 miles. Like,
yeah,
that was like, but that was Jose every day in the playoffs. It was like, oh, he just hit the shit out of that. Cool.
Man, he would like, man, man, it's like, what can you even say? Right? Like, what can you even say?
It was
every big spot. It was always him.
It was everything we wanted. Everything we waited all those years with him for, being like, one day Jose Bautista will make the playoffs and he'll be amazing. And he was. And just like, this has been talked about a million times, but it bears repeating, just like his appetite for the moment. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
It makes you wish that they had built a team around him a little faster.
Sure does.
But I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's easy. And it's so funny. I feel so jealous now that we are living in a reality where 8 teams make the AL playoffs. It's like, man, how many years might they have like completely ruined some team's season because of Jose Bautista?
Right. He had 50 home runs.
I'm retroactively mad about a lot of stuff right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, this game drudges it up. There's a reason we haven't rewatched this game.
The Jays threaten again in the fifth, and it's Josh Donaldson in that spot. That's who you want. He hits a line out that would have really ripped this game open. Like, you have Pilar and Martin on.
Great play by Moustakas, unfortunately.
Fucking Mike Moustakas. Fuck.
Yeah.
The Jays checked in on, by the way.
That's right.
This offseason.
This also just felt like a game. Like, we were saying how this felt like a season where they were destined to win. This felt like a game they were destined to win. They kept getting guys on. Ben Revere makes that insane catch to rob Sal Perez in the seventh. And you're just like, okay, there it is. There's like the moment we all need. That's how the comebacks start. And it just didn't happen.
That's into left field. Back is Revere.
I mean, this is a great play. And then watch the relay. He gets this ball back in. And once Tulowitzki caught the ball, I've watched Revere do this a couple times, bring this back. But I love his presence of mind to come up with a strong throw back. And I'm telling you, once Tulo caught it, I thought for sure it was going to be a double play.
What an amazing catch. The way he just turned and ran to a spot when the ball was hit enabled him to get back there so quickly. And then the leap.
Great play, huh?
Unbelievable. If the Blue Jays come back to win this game, that's the play of the night.
We were a little bit spoiled by it. I think the bat flip really exacerbated that, where like it felt like they were supposed to win no matter what happened.
Yeah.
And we will talk about it with Jose's second home run. That was the oh my God, like they're just not going to lose. Like, it was crazy. But as you said, Ben Revere, a ridiculous catch to rob Buck Martinez's favorite player, Sal Perez, of a hit. And then our old friend, familiar face, it's Alex Rios singling off Aaron Sanchez to score Moustakas in the bottom of the seventh. Now it's 2-1. It's starting to get a little shitty out. It's starting to get crappy. It's starting to be like, what are we even going through? But then, of course, who else? When else? At the top of the eighth, everything on the line. I even tweet in my flurry of tweets. Where is this? I believe it is top of the order to save the season, as it should be. Let's go. If it's anybody, it's them. If ever, it's now. Right on cue. Boy, I was feeling poetic. I was in my bag. Right on cue, Revere gets an infield single, but Donaldson strikes out looking, and then Jose Bautista. Who else? When else?
But right. A couple of home runs off Davis, but Madsen has not gone to his best pitch, the changeup, and I think that fooled Donaldson. Changeup, of course, if you hang it, is a home run pitch.
Here's the 0-1. That is hit down the line and left. Into the corner, and this game is tied. It's a 3-3 game here in the eighth inning. and Batista's got two tonight.
He's had some good swings all night, and you saw it coming the other day in Toronto, but no swing bigger than this one.
So I have a bit of a controversial take.
Please.
Obviously, the bat flip is Jose's iconic moment.
Absolutely.
It will define his career, as it should. As you said, no inning like that has ever happened in the history of baseball.
And never will again.
And never will again. I like this home run more.
Wow.
It's in Kauffman. It's on the road. That Royals crowd was really loud. They're five outs away from going to the World Series. And Jose Bautista says, how about fuck you instead? And just crushes a baseball that gets out of the park in like 8 seconds.
God.
It's so good. It's so good. I remember the reaction to the bat flip because it was just pandemonium. This was just, all I remember from this is that Chris Lund opened our front door and just screamed into the night when Jose hit this ball. Because it was just like, we didn't know what to do. Like, how many times can Jose Bautista just, like, be the fucking God King for us and be the guy? And then there was immediately a 45-minute rain delay in the middle of the eighth inning because this game is so weird.
The rain delay was where I went from, like, that's when I went to the next level. That was when I was standing up, for sure.
I just went for a walk. I remember this. I walked around my neighborhood because I was like, I don't know what to... Because we were all fired up because Jose had just tied it. So there was like excitement and adrenaline. But then there's just like a rain delay in a tie game in the eighth. I didn't know what to do with myself. So I just went for a walk.
I can't believe they don't win this game. I can't believe they don't win this series. Yeah. I really can't. My concerns from earlier, this is the one thing that I got to feel very smart about was I was like, oh man, they shouldn't have had to use Osuna in that blowout win. And lo and also behold, here they are. Roberto Osuna, and we'll say it, switch hitter, Eric Hosmer.
Yep.
Could have been facing...
Yep.
Or pardon me, not a switch hitter, but lefty bat.
Yep.
Pardon me, Eric Hosmer. You know, could have been facing Brett Cecil.
It's eighth inning, yep.
Mm-hmm. That's who that would have been. That hurts. Osuna in the eighth. There's a walk, and then Hosmer scores on the throw. This is where Bautista got... Remember, Bautista didn't throw it to the right base?
And Kane was cover the base in like 20, like so fast. But this was the Royals bullshit.
They had him scouted that he was going to throw it.
Yeah, second. Royals bullshit of slap single to the right field.
That's into right field. This ball is down. Going to third is Kane. Holding it first. Now Kane coming to the plate. Royals lead. He can fly.
It looks like it's a great play by Bautista. He's going to cut off a double. But in this situation, you got to throw it in and let the first baseman redirect it because you have Lorenzo Cain. Now, he did this against the Astros when the center fielder fell down on a ground ball to center and he continued on. So you got to know the aggressiveness. And right there, Dursley not hesitate and send him all the way around.
Yeah, but how about doing that with nobody out?
Think about what we just saw. Nobody out, a single to right field, he scores from first base, and he was not running on the pitch. Amazing.
But that being said, the Blue Jays should have tied this game in the ninth inning.
Yes. This is where now it's crumbling, right? Now it's like, I can't believe this is how this is going to go down. They get to the ninth, Martin singles, Pompey pinch runs for him, steals second, steals third.
And now Pompey is going to come in and run for Russell Martin. There he goes. Throw down Perez. Not in time. Stolen base in a blink.
What a money bag.
Tying run at second. Nobody out. Runner goes. No throw. And no swing at the plate. Now the tying run is 90 feet away. And the pinch runner, Dalton Pompey, has stolen two bases here in the ninth.
How gutsy is that?
Inside, ball four. First and third, nobody out.
Kevin Pillar walks. That's how crazy we're dealing with here. Kevin Pillar walks with nobody out and the tying run on third. Navarro goes down swinging. Pilar steals second. So now the go-ahead run is on in the scoring position. And then Ben Revere, I mean...
That strike call will haunt me for the rest of my days.
You
cannot. It's not even close.
You can't give me a called strike in my lifetime that I will remember more than that.
Yeah, it would have. I believe that would have sent it to 3-1 instead of 2-2.
He goes down swinging. He obliterates a piece of, I believe it's the Gatorade cooler?
I think so, yeah. He just takes a bat to it.
Absolutely nuts on it. And then it's like if you, in 2015, if you could have anybody in the world at the plate in the situation, you want Josh Donaldson with two out and the tying run on second, or the go-ahead run on second. He is unable to get it done. He grounds out. It felt anticlimactic. It felt like it felt painful, frankly.
All I remember, I have a very clear memory of this, is the ball leaves Donaldson's bat, and I screamed, "Get through!" at the top of my lungs, and then sat down. Was basically how that one went.
It felt like incomplete.
Yeah, it really did. It still does, to be honest.
I don't know how to... It does still feel... You're right. I think that's probably part of... I think that's probably why... And maybe we'll get into this in the next episode, but like... I know you and I are probably this way, but like we still hold on to this team so well.
Yeah.
And that's why it's probably why it feels like 2015 was more recent than it was.
It's true. That is kind of weird now, because you've pointed that out a couple times and it's kind of.
Well, like when you think about how far away we are from the 2015 team now, right? But how far away did the 2010 team feel in 2015? Forever.
Right.
Like, it felt like it was forever away. I think the fact that this team felt so incomplete and it felt like they came up short, it really made it hard for us to disconnect from this season. And that is also part of the magic and part of the unexpectedness of it and the sweeping up and the run. It just felt like we got left at the altar. We got left 5 games shy of where we were supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that's entirely correct. And I'll never forget that night after the game. Chris's now fiance sat on the couch, fell asleep on the couch, as Chris and I sadly played Ken Griffey Jr. baseball till 4 in the morning, lamenting the loss. So,
one day, I don't know who's going to do it. Maybe you, maybe Chris. One day we're going to get a tell-all about the you and Chris house.
No, there's.
I never know what you're going to say when you talk about that house.
It was an interesting year.
That's the sad, bad game. The no good, very bad, crappy game that I hate. Really, if they had won that game, that would have been a truly unbelievable reclamation. I think I would have been in dire straits if they won that game.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Nevertheless, way she goes. We have the fallout from this. We have 2016. We have another playoff run. We have a crazy offseason, a new president, a new GM. All kinds of wild stuff happens. And we will dig into that in the next episode of Storytime.